with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. Good. Roll call.
Megan Talley.
Bernie Fujaro.
Curtis Alexander.
Brenda Talley.
Dennis Lovell.
Okay. And Brenda's going to do the public comment.
Hi, everyone. Last week, for those, or not last week, last month, for those who were here, Curtis and I had talked about establishing a little stricter protocol with the public comment and discussion and questions throughout the meeting, just to keep things moving, that the person that comes up and speaks, that the board will be the first to ask questions, and then we'll turn it over to the floor. So we want to continue that tonight. So now we'll open it up to public comment to anything that's not on the agenda, which I don't think we have anything really other than reports.
And also I wanted to add that we need to state who you are and your address for the record.
Yeah. Okay.
Brian Johnson, 4929 Jack Frost Road, not Charleston.
Okay, do you want to stand up so then you can,
okay,
everybody can
all
hear
right
too?
Brian Johnson, 4929 Jack Frost Road, Mount Charleston. Several meetings ago when we had the license plate money, and different companies, different organizations were winning certain amounts of money. One of those organizations, I don't recall the name, they had promised they were going to clean up broken sled debris, trash along the trailheads. This has not happened. I've been all over every single one of these trailheads this spring, and I have seen no evidence of that. And I cleaned up a lot of it myself, especially around the Echo Trailhead.
Well, we're not supposed to discuss things on public comment, but I'm going to cheat. And are you talking about the grants that we just heard 2 months ago?
Yes, license.
They haven't gotten that funding yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Their programs probably won't start until mid to late summer because of the grant funding.
Okay.
So yeah, they haven't even started their work yet.
I just remembered the other thing I wanted to say then. That kind of answers the other comment I had, which was there was another group that was going to put up tables kind of like this, I guess, in front of the trailheads and answer questions for people that are hiking and encourage them to not pollute, mm-hmm, don't start fires, be safe, don't get switchbacks, that kind of stuff. So I imagine
same
they are
thing
not...
No.
Same thing.
Okay. Anybody that just got approved for funding doesn't have money yet.
And also the cleanup that was supposed to happen didn't happen because it was rained out because of weather, so that was another issue.
And I know we're not supposed to talk, but that Friends of Nevada Wilderness is up here this Saturday and they've been doing trail lighting. So
good to know.
Yeah. And just for clarification, anything that's not on the agenda is supposed to be held for at the end of the meeting for public comment, not on the front. Yeah, if you, I don't know if you guys got copies of this, but anyway. Okay.
I'm sorry, there's agendas and minutes over there. I apologize. I got them out late. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, is there any amendments to the minutes?
Move to approve.
Okay. We'll go ahead and approve the minutes. Approval of agenda. Motion.
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Informational items. Receive a report from Metro regarding recent activity and other crime concerns for discussion only. Matt?
Evening, everyone.
Mayor.
Sergeant Matt Marlowe, Las Vegas Metro, for Mount Charleston area. Over the last reporting period, we responded to 8 calls for service up here on State Route 157 above the 158. We wrote 55 citations. We made 1 DUI arrest, and we made 1 felony arrest for attempt murder.
Wow.
It was on one. That was a result of the directed patrol activity. We worked for the biker rally, mm-hmm, that the resort had. So those folks behaved themselves pretty well, and they just had one subject was outstanding there for some things we needed to take care of. Anyone have any questions for me?
Where was the attempted murder?
I don't know, it was somewhere in town.
He
had a warrant for it.
Oh.
He just had a ride up here with the rest of the crew.
Okay.
He was picked up.
So you did better than the whole valley. Congratulations.
We do what we can.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Matt, there's been a lot of discussion on Facebook about the recent horse that was hit. Mm-hmm. Were you able to make a determination whether or not it was actually hit by a car? Because it was unclear in the discussions.
Talk about the second one that's up here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was not on the scene. However, I understand that it had a leg injury as well as a stomach injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't speak for sure, but I would think that more than likely it was a vehicle. And we didn't respond to that accident, so there was no report to us for that. So.
And for the record, would you state your name and your address?
Do I have to come up here?
No.
Okay.
No.
Joe Evans, the address, if I can remember, 319 Crestview. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Ranks are a little.
That actual question will be answered in just a little bit. You'll have a better answer on that. Yes,
good.
What's the process once an animal is hit? What are you supposed to do? I mean, do we call you and then who picks it up?
Yeah, so typically what happens if someone strikes an animal, it needs to be reported as an accident. And either Metro or NHP will respond to the incident. Now, if it's a wild animal, if it's a game animal, like a deer or an elk or something to that effect, then typically my folks or NHP will euthanize the animal, and then NDOT will come and pick it up, and they have a special spot that they place those animals. With the horses, we're working out right now with Forest Service to make sure that they're notified because they have needs for notification for specifically for horses. But for you on the ground, you don't have to notify anybody but just local law enforcement. Hit something, dial 911, and let us know that you had an accident there.
And that applies even on the subdivisions?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Those are county roads in the subdivisions, which is technically Metro's jurisdiction. Those roads.
And they'll come pick them up then?
Once we notify them, yes.
Okay.
Now, if you see an animal that's injured, we need to call it immediately, obviously, because we need to get it either care or put down so it's not suffering anymore. If it's an accident, then obviously we need to take an accident report and still deal with the animal.
I'm thinking about from a few years ago when it was like right off of 157 and mm-hmm. we couldn't get anybody to pick up the poor animal.
Now, sometimes, depending on what it is, if it's deceased, if it's off far enough off the road, but see, NDOT has a new protocol now, so
okay.
Typically when we respond and we request them, they'll come and pick them up regardless of the distance out.
That ended up being animal control.
No, NDOT finally did it.
Yeah.
It's a rare occasion we get animal control up here.
Yeah.
We kind of have to work this through the systems that we already have in place here because it's such a long trip and long drive up here.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's the
normal standard protocol is if an animal is struck and it's deceased on the side of the road or we have to create its death, then it'll be removed by NDOT and moved to a private area. That's typically how that goes. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Is the horse still there, the recent one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was told that it is.
Mm-hmm. So will that be removed?
I don't have an answer for you right now. I didn't know it was there until I almost walked in there tonight. So. Does it need to be removed? I've heard it's pretty far off the road. Is it causing problems for folks?
The one by Echo?
Yeah. Okay.
My only concern if it starts smelling as bad as the deer did, that we couldn't even walk out of our houses. I mean, and then going to the mailbox was just impossible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll check into it. I'll see if NDOT has a plan.
I don't know where it is because I didn't want to know, but I know there were some families over there today picnicking and off the parking lot. So.
Okay.
Well, I saw someone covered it with pine boughs, so I don't know why.
Mm.
Deep breath, sir. Anyone else?
Oh.
Yes, sir.
last meeting, we had talked about ways to try and prevent some of these things from occurring, and one of the items that was mentioned that I think you said might be a good idea was the the digital readout sign that says your speed is,
mm-hmm.
that would also set off, if they have them, radar detectors in a person's vehicle. The combination of the two might help slow people down. Have we any idea what's going on there?
Yeah, you added a little piece in there about the radar detectors. I don't remember that being... I do remember you saying about the speed of the flashing, we talked about that.
Well, somebody said that.
Signs set off the radar detector.
Gotcha.
Well, they're radar based, so they would set off a radar detector, so anyway.
So the way NDOT works is that their headquarters is not here in Las Vegas. And so I have to work everything through them and send emails and wait for emails or make phone calls and make messages. And I have sent those emails. I've had some conversation with Mark. I mean, I don't have his last name or anything right here. He's looking into other things as well, such as the animal signs indicating there's more animals and those kind of things up here. And we talked about that before. There has to be a certain amount of incidents in there. It's a slower process than you think. So it hasn't been forgotten, and I'm still working.
Yes, and thank
you. I just don't have an answer for you.
Thank you.
And Forest Service will probably give us more information because there may be restrictions on what kind of signs and lighting and all that stuff that can be up here and not up here. Because I know there was a flasher on the 25 speed limit sign going into Echo, and that had to be removed earlier.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see something that says zero tolerance. You know, like they have when you go into Prim, there's just big signs that say zero tolerance. I think something like that would work better. If you really enforced it, actually.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, I drive that way, and I'll be driving that way tonight, and it doesn't matter. People still drive fast.
Yeah, we can enforce zero tolerance. And one of the things I brought up the last meeting, and I'm not trying to bash any of the residents here, but a lot of the stops that we make for speeding are residents. Right? And I'm not saying other ones hitting horses. I don't know some of these. If you're not stopping, I don't see how you can hit a horse and still operate your vehicles as big as these horses are. I'm not saying the residents are the ones hitting them and hiding. I don't know who it is, honestly. But if I say zero tolerance, then everybody gets a ticket.
Right.
And that means everybody gets a ticket. And that's residents included. And that's the road we go down. That's the road we go down. And with more and more discussion on these horses and animals getting hit, the only fair way to do this is to have zero tolerance and everybody gets a ticket for speed.
Is that Metro included too? Because I get passed up by Metro an awful lot.
They're going to a call.
There's the trouble.
We have a separate dispensation. Things go to. If that's the road we need to go down, we can't. We do.
I'm willing to go down that road.
Typically, our outlook has been, you know, if you're a resident, you get stopped more than one time, then you'll get a citation.
Yeah, but to respond to your question, I was on the volunteer fire department for 20 years. Sometimes the license sirens are disruptive, so if you're going on a call, it's better to go without running code, as we call it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they run code without light and siren, and that's why. So if they're on their way and they're going faster, they're usually on a call.
And Matt, I don't know if this is something you would answer or Forest Service or whose jurisdiction it falls under, but I know there's several states that have enacted or are enacting, just like in work areas, you have safety corridors and the fine is doubled, that they have wildlife safety corridors where the fine is doubled. And is that, like, how would something like that be established where that might be a better deterrent?
I could take a look at that and see. Because, like, the work area, mm-hmm. Here's the challenge that Metro has. That's a state route.
Right.
That's, and I don't mean to throw NHP under the bus, but that's not Metro's technical road. It is our jurisdiction within the county, but it's not our road. So I'd work those issues through Highway Patrol and find out.
Yeah, because, and like what I was reading, what other states were doing, it kind of started with horses, but not just for horses, because just being up here, I've seen horses crossing,
elk, deer,
coyotes, mm-hmm. mountain lion, foxes. So, you know, why just, it's not horse safety, but even just the wildlife safety. But I thought that would be a good idea if that was something we could look into, where it would double the penalty.
Personally, one of the biggest deterrents of speeding is animals, because if you're doing more than 35 or 55, mm-hmm. your animal strike delay time is much more increased. So for me personally, mm-hmm. even if I'm in a hurry, I think, I'm not going to do 50 in the 35 and hit something. And you know, so to me, the animals themselves are a deterrent over these guys.
But there's a lot of people that come up here don't even realize that there are even deer, let alone horses. I camped up here, I'm a native Las Vegan, and camped up here for years and years, and it probably was 10 years before I even saw deer, and I was like, what, there's deer up here? And boy, I started going slower. So a lot of them have never even seen it. Maybe if they slow down and enjoy the drive, they might see more and be more aware, but I think that's part of the problem. They just aren't even aware.
Yes.
Thomas at the Lodge was going to suggest maybe speed bumps that are recycled tires.
No, it's a fantastic idea.
But they can be removed during the winter time.
They're temporary.
Okay.
No, that we don't do speed bumps on public roads. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's for the county. I don't think
on the state highway.
I don't think there are rules.
And that's where most of the accidents are going to be.
We don't do speed bumps on public roads.
On state highways.
Clark County.
In residential. Right. Not state highways.
No,
it's
a state road.
Right, it's a state road.
Yeah.
What about them driving over?
You might have been. They're not state highways.
Private right. Subdivision, but the county does not do speed.
It's a state. This is a state highway. They can't put them on state right. highways.
The biggest reason behind all that is emergency vehicle response. Uh-huh. You're slowing down ambulances. You're slowing down fire trucks. You're slowing down police trucks that are in the area of calls. If I had a little button to disappear and we went by, then
they do make those, you know.
Yeah, that would be pretty expensive.
It would be.
But actually, if you hit them right, you could launch off them at speed. Okay.
Well, what about going to the Visitor and Conventions Bureau instead of promoting the strip in our commercials around the country or just within Nevada? They do about hiking and the wildlife that we have.
Well, that's beyond our scope, you know.
But
so.
We can't team up with them. Or
yeah, I mean,
proposition them.
It'd be one of those things, if you want to head up a committee and represent Mount Charleston, we could appoint you to do that, but it's not. It's beyond the scope of the town board.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Wouldn't that just encourage more people to come up?
Well, it could. Okay. I know that the new rules are new, and as far as standing up, saying who you are and all the other stuff and being appointed, but we're trying to establish, in the interest of the time, instead of having like an open forum, is we do like a news conference where we appoint, you know, somebody raise their hand, you get appointed, and then they speak, and then they state who they are. That's for time efficiency and things like that. But it's a little loose tonight because it's new, but thank you for those that have done it. But anyway, moving along, is there any further questions from the floor? Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks, Sergeant.
All right, receive a report from Mount Charleston Fire District regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
Good evening, Dave Martin, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District. First of all, I'd like to thank our new ranger for her contribution. She won a raffle prize at the banquet.
Oh, thank you. I bought tickets last month.
Thank you for
cool.
your support.
Thank you.
We have had a last reporting period. Chief Gonzalez couldn't be here tonight. He had some family business he needed to take care of. So he sends his regrets. He wanted me to let you know we had in the last period 18 calls for service. The new seasonals are on duty now. They'll be working 40 hours a week. I'm not sure when they're going to start staffing over in Lee Canyon. Kind of contingent on the weather when they can get the water thawed out and tested and get that station up to snuff. But they're on duty and working with the wildlife captain. Volunteer banquet was a great success. Thank you to everybody who came out and supported us. Our gross receipts were just a little bit over $3,500 before expenses, so I haven't gotten receipts back on the decorations and awards and things of that nature. But thank you very much for your support. Moving down, pine needle pickup is Saturday. We encourage everybody to take part in the community cleanup. Dumpsters should be arriving tomorrow. Reminding everybody that the dumpsters are for vegetation from the community and not for your refrigerator and your 8-track stereo and things of that nature. The transfer station will be open Saturday. They're going to open 2 hours early, so they'll be open from 8 till 2. They'll probably hang out a little bit longer if there's a call for it. But you're welcome to take all the other things that treasures from your house that you no longer need and take them down to the transfer station and they will take them free of charge. That is about all I have on my list for today. Do I have any questions?
Any questions from the board?
What I haven't seen a sign for prescribed burn area. Where is that happening?
Cathedral picnic area. That's for our Forest Service project. There were 40 piles that were burned Tuesday. Combination of the Forest Service, Mount Charleston Fire, both paid staff and volunteer staff took part in that.
Okay. I was curious about that too. Any questions from the floor?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Stand up again?
No. We already got you on record.
Do you know if there are sufficient volunteers for Saturday, or do you need additional volunteers?
Additional volunteers are welcome. Our coordinator is Donna Thompson from Metro Volunteers. She's been working with us on.
It's not going to be a situation where you're inundated with too many volunteers?
Never.
Never.
We have a base set of things we want to accomplish, and then we have some things we'd like to accomplish if we have enough volunteers. So the more volunteers we have, the more projects we can take on.
Okay.
But the volunteers, I think, get free barbecue.
Yep.
Yes, okay. So there will be a barbecue starting about 11 o'clock and running until about 1. So encourage all your neighbors to get all their bags out to the street so they can be picked up. And
Chief, do you have enough people volunteering with pickups to carry the bags and things like that?
Again, Donna.
Do you want me to address it now?
Sure. Okay.
Donna Thompson, Little Town Metro Volunteer Coordinator. We have, that's our main goal. The camp kids are going to be cleaning up a few people's yards that they can't clean up their yards. But the main goal is for everybody to pick up stuff around their neighborhoods. So go to the towns, pick up the bags, and bring them to the dumpsters for people who don't have pickups. So if you want to help, that'd be great. If there's enough volunteers, and I never know if they're going to show up or not, maybe we could do some cleanup of the trash around the towns and the town trails. There's no trash up in Echo. I know there's a lot of it there. But it's going to depend on the weather and how many people show up. Right now we have maybe 25 people that have decided to come from town, not including us. So if you want to help, please just show up at the volunteer center.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Questions? Okay, well, thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay, next item is receive a report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Derek is sick today, so he couldn't be here. So he sent me the information. In case you didn't see him, there's these little reports up here. And it's water district expenses, net income, and cash balance. I am not a money person, so I cannot answer any questions on that. If you do have questions, I can put you in touch with somebody at Water District to answer those. The well report, the system is stable. No issues to report. The wells are all operational. Water levels are as follows. Echo 3 is 10 feet below well level surface. Echo 4 is 89 feet below level surface. Echo 5 is 68 feet below level surface. Rainbow is 67 feet below level surface.
Those are good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, so
better there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some good flow. Any questions from the board? From the residents? Wow, you were good. You covered everything.
Thank
no questions.
Yeah.
Receive a report from Metro Volunteers regarding member activities and events.
Thompson again, Metro Volunteer Coordinator. We're working, of course, the Pine Needle Pickup, like I already discussed. We're also looking to help Forest Service with their new cleanup date, which is June 15th, and the two astrological things that are really cool if the community hasn't seen those. So we're going to work the parking event for that. Other than that, we really don't have much to do now.
What are those dates, Donna?
Huh?
Do you have those dates?
June 8th, June, July 7th. That's all we have, though, for us. Questions for me?
Any questions from the board? Okay. Questions from the residents? Floor? You're good too, huh?
Oh, what was that you just said? Did you say astrological?
Yeah, they do. The Forest Service
or the Beaumont Charleston puts it on. They do all the telescopes, the guys with computers that look at the sky. It's found
that's astronomical.
What? Astrological?
But maybe they have people here who read it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, we can do
something.
And what time is that? And what time?
I don't know exact details. I know when I'm showing it for the parking event, but the Forest Service.
Donna, do you have the time?
The Astronomy Club comes up. They've been up a couple of times.
With their
they bring probably anywhere between 10 and 15 telescopes, set them up. It's really a neat event.
It is a very neat event.
Do you have a website or anything to get more information?
Go Mount Charleston.
Yeah, the Go Mount Charleston website has the information and times. And they sent it out, but I didn't print those out. So.
Okay, well, go Mount Charleston.
I think it's at night.
They do a Facebook blast, I think. Yeah. Go Mount Charleston.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. Receive a report from the Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and status during last month. I don't see anybody from the Highway Patrol.
They were busy writing tickets on the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure were.
Yeah. Bike path. That's interesting. Okay. Receive a report from the United States Forest Service. Oh, there you are.
Hi, everybody. Deb McNeil, I'm the new area manager. I guess I can say that for a few more months, right? So second meeting. And I want to give a few updates from last month and some things going on. One thing on the prescribed burn, I didn't mention that last month because we didn't have a plan. So I apologize for not letting you know. We did coordinate with everyone. Essentially, we had hazard trees or other trees that needed to be taken down in the picnic areas to make sure they aren't going to fall on the public. So our fire crews went in and rec crews went in and cut up those trees last fall. Actually, I think last August or September when I was here. And then we went in and burned them on site. So that's what you see. And until they officially call those out, the signs will still be there. But it's at the Beaver Rock Picnic area. It probably will be coming down soon. We will be out tomorrow. Or on Saturday, helping out with the pine needle pickup. Pine nuts on my mind. And so a couple of our fire crew and one of our rec folks will be out. And there's also a running race at Sawmill on Saturday, a special use permit that we issued. It's called the Sawmill Relay, and it's down by Blue Tree. And that'll be June 1st as well. It won't interfere with any of this other activity. It's already on the same trails and area, and there'll be some dispersed camping. So that's a special use permit that'll be going on Saturday. I met today, several of us went out and met with the Spring Mountain Youth Camp. So they're doing a forestry program. That's a 49-year partnership that the Forest Service has with them. And they are going out and they help us maintain our trails, do a lot of work. So the kids are pretty excited about it, and we did get approval to close the Mary Jane Falls Trail on June 5th and 6th. So we will be putting that out in the press and to everyone. And the youth camp, they're going to send all of their crews out there for those 2 days to try to tackle. And we may consider doing additional, you know, maybe on Wednesday closures throughout the summer so they can get in. I guess it's in pretty bad shape. It's been out there nice. So we'll see what we can do. And we may try to look for other opportunities on other staff that can go out. As she already mentioned, Donna, thank you, the spring cleanup has moved to June 15th. We had a lot of snow this weekend. It's been kind of a crazy year, but so that's happening. The Hilltop Campground reconstruction project, you know, it's been awarded. We met with the contractors, and they're going to mobilize and start on June 17th. So that campground is closed for the season. We have started allowing overnight camping at some sites in Kyle Picnic area to help offset. We really didn't have the volume of users this weekend. And then as we have staff, we're putting in some fire rings at Old Mill. And so those will be non-reservable, walk-in only, to hopefully help with some of the overflow for campers that are not able to use Hilltop this year. The goal is to have that campground, though, completely reconstructed by the end of this season so that next season it can be open as normal. So, and we are working with the Las Vegas Valley Water District. They had a tree come down by their water development, and so they're going out and flagging what they think are hazard trees.
And our fire crews are going to go out next week and look with them and hopefully take those down so there's no potential damage. And just for awareness on, for you guys, our region is coming in, so our, we're in the Intermountain region, region 4 for the Forest Service, and that's multiple states, and they're coming out next week for a review for our recreation program. So they're going to be meeting with some of our partners as well as staff, and we're really hoping. As you guys know, there's a ton of turnover in the Forest Service. Most of the staff there has been there less than 3 years, and then, you know, 3 months. So we are aware that there's a lot of things we used to do years ago, and we haven't been able to do because of budget cuts, and then there's probably a lot of things we don't even know we used to do. And I'm not saying we are going to be able to do them, but don't assume we know that, hey, you used to do this, that, or the other. We're open to ideas and finding ways to partner with people on the mountain and user groups that want to come in and help do good things on the land. So if you think of something or you know something that used to be done and you go, hey, why isn't this done anymore? It could be a legitimate, like, we just didn't know or hadn't thought of it, or we could just maybe not have the funding. But please feel free to bring those ideas to me. And then I'll take questions. I know there were some questions on the horses. So.
Okay. First, well, what are the...
That's the astronomy events are 8 to 10.
Okay, thank you.
On June 8th, his phone. June 8th.
And then it's locked.
June 8th and July 6th from 8 to 10.
8 to 10 p.m.
Okay. What are the other states in the Intermountain region?
So Wyoming, Idaho, Nevada, Utah. Am I missing any? I think those are the main ones. We have a little bit on the Humboldt Toyabe, we have a little bit of California in the region as well, up northern. Nevada goes into Lake Tahoe Basin. So so the Humboldt Toyabe National Forest, we are most of the state of Nevada as well as a little bit of California. That's unusual, most forests aren't that large. We're the largest in the lower 48. I would say the largest in 49 of the states because Hawaii is not quite there, right? Yeah. So it's a very large forest to manage, and you know my boss works up in Sparks, Nevada, so we're a little bit of an island down here for species as well as other things. So
the reason I ask, and now getting into the horses, because I looked up the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burro Act of 1971, amended in 76 and 78, and the Forest Service is responsible for managing, has been given that authority, wild horses, and their main priority or primary responsibilities are to protect wild horses and burros from capture, branding, harassment, or death. Mm-hmm. And in that vein, you heard talking to Matt about the maybe the wildlife safety corridor, mm-hmm. and there's 7 states right now that are in the process of enacting that legislation, or the some that have already have the ability to establish safety corridors where they double the fine for speeding and things like that,
yeah.
to protect not just horses, but all the wildlife up here. And Wyoming is one of the states that is doing that, so if you're having this Intermountain meeting, you might want to just ask, instead of reinventing the wheel, you know, the process to get that going. They are enacting legislation through their states. Some have done other things with their Department of Transportation and things like that. So anyway, that would, I think, might
I
be worthwhile.
To look into that when we were talking earlier, just to see what's in our authority, what is NDOT, what is Metro, what is Highway Patrol, etc. But certainly, we discussed it last summer, Matt, when Sarda Marlowe was here, and I was here at some of those meetings working with NDOT on trying to find ways to put more signage, whatever's appropriate. And they have rules. We all have rules on what hits threshold and that sort of thing, but we would appreciate.
And then beyond that, nationally, legislation was introduced in December in both Senate and the House to introduce a national wildlife corridors and to come up with all the system and policies on how what that process would be. So that's encouraging. But those things take an act of Congress, and we know how that's all going lately. So meanwhile, who would be responsible or to contact for just simply slow wildlife signs?
So in on the state highways, we have to go through NDOT.
That's okay.
And that's generally where the injuries and accidents are happening, mm-hmm. is on those highways. So if it's a Forest Service system road, We could put a sign up, but those are almost always going to be dirt roads, and so we're already supposed to be under county, I think, ordinance 25 miles an hour or less. So I don't, to my knowledge, that's not where the accidents have been happening or been happening on the paper.
Not right away. Right.
So, but we are working on that, and we are working with Metro Highway Patrol and NDOT and trying to track both us and the BLM in general, just where the accident's happening and where are those trends at, so that the signage can be put up. But obviously, that's a process too. So we are in favor as well as of appropriate signage, but that, you know, that's working with NDOT, and you know they have rules to follow too. So
right, exactly. So I having when they were out there was knew someone was going on and walked down and talked to whatever Forest Service guy was there at the time, and you know, it wasn't like they just, oh, hurt horse and shot. I just from the time I got there and they were already there, he probably was there an hour watching the horse. The horse had problem getting up. It finally got up, was a little woozy, but then looked okay, but just you could tell it wasn't right. I went to the house and later heard the shot, but he was there for a long time monitoring and really watching and talking to me. You know, that's the last thing they want to do, but you know, there comes a time where you just, an animal, you just don't want to see it suffer anymore, and obviously that was the case. But he was very just very kind and understanding, and just made me feel better that he was watching over. And it got really, you know, it was getting dark, and they stayed for a long time.
And he was, just so you know, he was on the phone with myself and a wildlife biologist, horse specialist, and we discussed all of the, I mean, there's criteria. It's never the first choice for anybody. But once he was able to get closer and saw the injuries, it, you know, there was substantial injuries, and so it's not something she was going to survive.
And then what is the policy about removing? It's, is there anything about how close it is to the houses?
There's not.
Or just to the road?
Yeah, so generally speaking, if it's a health or safety issue, then there would be removal. And in this case, my staff's assessment was based on the distance from the road and the trailhead and things like that to not remove the horse, in the sense that we would have to do resource damage to bring a truck, a dump truck or some other vehicle in, or to bring in some kind of equipment to bury it. You're trying to make sure it's not in a water source, it's not on a road, it's not going to cause an accident by somebody stopping to look, things like that. So it was my folks that covered
it,
which was an attempt, I guess, to basically let nature take its course without me being so disturbing. So if that's not the right answer in this case, because it is too close and there's going to be an order, we are happy to reassess.
Okay.
You know.
What about mountain lions?
Well,
is that drawing them more closer to our...
hadn't thought of that, but certainly they're natural predators for any horses. Wildlife. I mean, any animal that goes. So, you know, if the consensus is, or the recommendation from the community is that you would like it removed, I would certainly look and see what we can do.
Of course, if it's full from the animal, it might not eat somebody's dog.
It's not a
small
child. It's not a pretty picture, no matter how we look at it.
I just don't want to let my cat out of it, knowing that the horse is out.
Yeah, I get it. Yes.
Okay.
On an unrelated topic, in the last meeting, I had mentioned that in the fall we get some really bad winds in the Mary Jane Big Falls area, 60-70 mile per hour red flag winds. That's a dry time of year. If someone started with campfires, things just take off, which was what happened during the October fire. During red flag warning forecasts, would it be possible, we just touched on the last meeting, would it be possible to close those parking lots for Mary Jane, Trail Canyon, in order to keep people out of there as much as possible, because people are going to start campfires up there?
I'll have to check on that. You know, generally speaking, we don't close the public lands. We might put a fire restriction in place, and but potentially additional enforcement or other avenues. I'm not going to say whether it could or couldn't be done, but I will
I will find out.
Are there signs there now that indicate, I mean, there should never be a fire?
Well, there's signs on the toilets that say no campfires, etc. There's signs at some of the trailheads that say the same thing. But people still do it.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So it was just an idea to close access as much as possible to Mary Jane and Big Falls. For those of you who have lived up here for a little while, you know what happened during the October fire.
Right. Yeah.
To prevent that, kind of stop that kind of thing from even getting started.
Yeah. To me, a lot of that is education, because again, those are public lands, and that's, I know there's.
Okay, you had
limiting access is kind of the last thing they do.
Hi, I'm April. Thank you, Brian. That's a good point. And that in California or the ocean areas, when the water's not safe to go in, I mean, there's literally signs it's not safe to go in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of not much different saying it's not safe to light fires or be up here because the wind conditions.
So the fire restrictions is already there.
Yeah.
But in the situation with the oceans, it says don't go in. If they do, does anybody tell them not to, or is that just like?
Yeah, no one's there. They go in.
Okay.
Nobody's there.
So I'm thinking that's
lifeguards have been
removed. Right. It's advisory then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Safety precautions still.
Yeah.
I've not ever experienced in the ocean that you know, where they actually close your access. They just put up warnings.
Yeah.
Don't
drink the water.
Lifeguards aren't going to come in after you, kind of thing. So, I mean, the reality is the closure of fire is already there. That restriction is already there. So maybe additional signage, additional education, and additional enforcement.
Is there a fine?
Yeah.
Does the sign say what the fine is?
Yeah, the fine is like $250.
I think that's the minimum. I think it says something to that effect.
Yeah.
But maybe a larger sign that really indicates that they're prohibited in that area, wouldn't it be all year long? Because isn't that in the...
Yeah, anything within a mile of
wilderness.
And that is an we are unique in that, and I wouldn't say unique because there may be other districts and units on the forest in other places that do that, but generally that rule is not, and right now that rule is in effect, and the risk of a fire in the community is really not there. But that rule is in effect as a partner, and because of the water-urban interface. So it's not being, the rule isn't there because there's a danger for fire getting away. The rule is there to just try to help make it an easier thing to enforce, and everybody knows that rule exists all year long, and it's not, are we in fire restrictions or are we not?
Right.
But it's still, needs additional enforcement. We'll look at signage.
Yes.
You had mentioned as a last resort. I think we are at that point. If you hike up into the Mary Jane Big Falls area, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to find campfire remains all over up there. And with the wind, the prevailing winds come down canyon in the fall. The only thing that saved us was a rock outcropping that prevented the fire. It was like a fireball, prevented the fire from coming down canyon. And it went up into the Big Falls area a little bit, and they were able to get control of it. But if it had started below that rock wall with those winds the way they were that night, it would have taken this canyon. And I'm not exaggerating.
Like I said, I don't know whether or not it's feasible or fair to those that are hiking on those public lands that aren't putting the campfires in. You know, it's kind of like saying, let's close the road because there are people speeding down it, but the 90% that aren't speeding are also no longer able to access. So closing public lands is a big deal.
I'm just saying during red flag warnings when they're in the forecast, that's only like maybe 4 or 5 nights in the fall.
Okay.
And we will update
yes.
The other half of 319. In my cynicism, I noticed this weekend where NDOT had closed part of the access road over Alza Blanca. People moved the barricades to the side and went through the road anyway. So I'm not really convinced that signage really helps. I think that enforcement seems to be what helps. I've noticed when they're out there patrolling and giving tickets, people in general slow down. And as long as they're out there, people in general seem to slow down, and as soon as they go away, because it can't be there all the time and every day.
Well, that's why these men with the metro patches will always have a job.
You're right, but I'm just saying they can't be patrolling and sitting out there every day waiting for somebody to speed. But when they are there, I notice that people slow down.
Yeah.
The other thing that we do on the trails, and that part of what the Spring Mountain Youth Camp is doing, what Friends of Nevada Wilderness or anyone who goes in, or our fire prevention officers, etc., when we see an illegal campfire or a campfire ring that's not supposed to be there, we disperse those, and we are training all of the crews on what's the proper way to disperse. So if you just take, you know, if you don't remove the ashes and remove the rocks, then people come in and they're just going to see the sign and they'll rebuild what was there. So.
Yeah, but even as a private individual, when I'm hiking and I see a fire ring, I disperse it.
Yeah, me too.
You know, so, and it's like any other crime. It's like, you know, I mean, yes, there's the rules. Those are the ones that break the rules. There's enforcement. And this is a big open area. And, of course, you know, being a scout and all that, I really respect the land. But there's a lot of people that were just not raised. They were in an urban society. They come up here. They have sometimes just plain ignorance. And they just do what they want to do. So, yes, it is a challenge. But again, it's like any other thing where you need to give access to the public, and they're gonna goof up, you know. Oh, yes.
I want to go back to the wild horses thing. Do you guys have any kind of policy, like when the animals do get hurt, like hypothetically said, say the horse got hit and she didn't have injuries that were gonna kill her, but how would you know unless you called in a vet? Do you guys have, like, is it normal to just want to call an outside help when you have an injured animal? Or do you guys just talk on the phone about it and then decide to do it yourself?
So we have training, our people are trained, our law enforcement are trained, and any Forest Service personnel that are authorized to dispatch or euthanize an animal. There's criteria. We have the benefit of cell phones most of the time. Even if it's not there, the photos can be taken and sent and viewed. If it's in doubt, we had an injured report animal on Monday. So we had two this weekend, we had the one on Kyle, and then we had an injured report, a right front leg on one in Lee Canyon. And so a different officer went out for Forest Service within an hour of being notified, and he assessed, and a couple people looked. We looked at the pictures. She was feeding. She was moving, so we decided to let her see if, you know, she's going to make it, and then we monitored. So we had staff go back up yesterday, and there was no sign of her, which means she was recovering and able to move on. So that's what we commit to try to do and make sure that, you know, if we can be there, we will be there. If it's an obvious injury, broken leg or something like that, then other law enforcement can take care of it. Any federal law enforcement can do, but they're all under the same guidelines, and that's Forest Service and BLM policy on euthanizing a wild horse or
gorilla. Do you guys never bring in like a veterinarian to ever check the animals? You just decide whether they can make it or not make it?
Pretty much. Veterinarians for, you know, to try to bring a vet in for a wild animal is not normally done. I have seen it done in unique circumstances when maybe there's something wrong with the animal, we're not sure what the cause is, but that's a pretty rare occasion. But they do get pretty significant.
Yes.
Naaman Horn with the Forest Service. And I just wanted to comment that we do have five or six patrols, fire patrols, and especially in times when we have red flag warnings, they are out in the forest monitoring everything, talking to people. So that is one, I know boots on the ground is one of the main things that does deter people, so that's something that we do have currently in place.
Very good.
Did you get down?
Okay, any other questions? Yes, sir. Or ma'am, I can't see you behind somebody.
Me.
Kim
Coster, Echo Subdivision. So I know when I go through Red Rock and down in that area, there's signs out telling them they're going to be fined if they feed the burros.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have anything like that up here. People feed the burros, they're feeding the horses, they're petting them. That's why, or part of the reason why, these animals are coming closer and closer to the road. They're not afraid of people anymore, and residents are just as bad between residents and tourists coming up and befriending these animals. These animals aren't afraid of people at all anymore. They come closer to the road, they're not afraid of cars because they think they're going to get fed. We need to get some of those signs and start enforcing a fine on people who do feed these animals, the same as they do over at Red Rock.
We do, if anyone is caught feeding, harassing, or in any way messing with, I guess, for lack of a technical term, with the horses or burros, that fine is there and that exists. We have not put up, you know, signage on the Forest Service, to my knowledge, but
there's no signs at all over here.
Whether or not, I do know on the BLM land, just in Red Rock, they have a specific planning amendment that authorized that, and that's why you'll see it at Red Rock and not on other BLM public lands. I don't know that that same restriction applies to the Forest Service, that it has to be in our plan to be able to sign it. That said, anything on the NDOT right of way, we have to get approval from NDOT.
Couldn't you just set it back from the right of way?
Yeah, it just depends on how wide the right of way is, and then it becomes whether it's, you know, it's still also always a health and safety issue. So even if you put it on the public land, can they see it? Are they going to slip?
Right.
Yeah, with the trees.
You know,
and that's why they have to help us to make sure we're not causing another problem by trying to solve one problem.
So, Meg, is that something that we could look into doing, like Red Rock, with the signage, don't feed the burros or white animals? Because we know that I've seen studies on how when people feed them, they become dependent and they have to euthanize them because they go onto the roads.
Or gather them.
Yeah, so possibly we could get with the commissioners and see if that's something we could look into.
It's not a commissioner issue.
Oh, it
is? It's a county issue. This is a, and I'm not putting it off. I hear some, this is not, I'm not putting it off. This is a Forest Service and NDOT issue. We have no jurisdiction.
So it's a state issue.
This is a state and federal issue.
Okay.
And I cover Red Rock as well. And those signs were not easy to put up. It took a lot of work to get them. And the Wild Horse and Burro Specialist at the time had to get a grant to be able to pay for those signs to put them up.
Grant from?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and research that. But it wasn't just that she asked for me to put up. The numbers are significantly higher. Not that it's not important. You guys, I'm a horse person, so this is very dear to my heart. But the numbers there are like triple and quadruple the numbers of hits up here. And there were deaths. Vehicular deaths.
There's more traffic though going through there too, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, and it's not though just horses and burros. The deer, I don't know where the sign is that says deer next 4 miles, but that stops, I think, before Rainbow. Mm-hmm. So it's not even correct. So even looking at even having deer next 10 or 12 miles, whatever it is, to get up to the lodge.
What about more of the little deer symbol signs? I mean, whose jurisdiction
that's
is that?
That's the one I'm, yeah.
Okay.
Unless it's in your subdivision.
Yes, if we could get more. Sign. Yeah, if we get more.
And correct.
Yeah.
That it just doesn't stop.
Right. Okay.
I have a question. Go ahead. We get $100,000 a year for projects here from our license plate. Can we recommend to the county, let's give $20,000 in signs to BLM, Forest Service, NDOT? Is that something that's legit, or is that?
Of course it is, and that would be a process. They would have to get approval to do them, and then they would have to come ask for
the
money through a grant, which is the way we do a lot of stuff up here. There's been a lot of things, the garbage cans, you know, it would be the process. It would be the process of getting it approved through NDOT and the Forest Service, and then them applying for the grant and getting the funding and then purchasing the sign.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, report from Nevada Department of Transportation regarding road conditions, construction updates, and other road-related issues.
He ran out when he heard all this stuff.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you know, I didn't see anybody from there because I knew we had a lot of questions. And then,
I'm not in the obviously, but the grand opening of the Kyle Interchange is coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So be looking for that. I have the news release and I'll send it out.
June 20th.
June
20th.
June
20th. And I only know this just to speak. And it's the same day we're doing our Southern Nevada Agency Partnership Appreciation Picnic at Cathedral Rock Picnic Area.
And I haven't been out of my neighborhood lately, but the roads in Rainbow, and I'm assuming everywhere else, are just totally decaying. Oh, yeah. So what can we do about that? We used to have, like, I used to be the chairman of the road paving committee, and they got rid of committees on town boards. So what can we do to get somebody up here and look at these roads?
And let me know it's a problem.
Okay.
Text me, email me, tell me here, and we'll get someone
up. Okay, because yep. I've seen they've taken the lumps and put them in the holes, which is good. It's mm-hmm. better. But I just see the entire roads are decaying. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I've actually worked with Megan mm-hmm. on this.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the potholes got filled.
A photograph of it mm-hmm. and give the approximate location to Megan. Usually within a week, they're up here fixing it.
Yeah, I'm just saying the entire road seemed to be checkering.
It's more than a pothole.
And I understand
they're pothole.
And I understand what you're yeah. saying, but if I send them things, say, please check the roads and make repairs, that's a major undertaking. If you have right. specific spots, it's going to be more effective because doing the whole study of the roads is probably not going to happen right now. But if you have specific spots, I can direct them better. Okay. I can give them better
well, direction. You know, originally the joke was when I got on the town board back in 96, I said, I'm getting on the town board because I want my road paved because there was no paved roads up here. And so we tracked and watched the money, and we got the funding, we got the roads paved. And I have to tell it funny because there was only three roads to be paved, and the first road was mine. And some of the residents said, why yours? I said, what did I say what I got up here for? But no, my thing is that, you know, I had more control back then. So if we could see how much money is in that fund, maybe we could do it, because when we take a photograph of a spot, I'm noticing the whole roads are deteriorating.
I know, they're just spot after spot.
Okay. Yeah. So when we do the budget request every fall, mm-hmm. we have put that in. So it's already on their list to look at your whole road system.
Okay.
But if you have immediate concerns,
okay.
that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You can wait months and months till they do the study, or you can let me know where there's spots and we can get it fixed.
Sure. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Not that that's not important, because it is, but I will tell you a funny. I got a call last week from a resident complaining about the fact that the roads were paved. So I just found that very funny, that he was very mad that the roads had been paved.
Well, you know, ironically, I have horses too, and the dirt's better for the horses, but I got tired of the dust coming through the windows.
yeah, I don't know about this.
I have one more question
oh.
for Deb real quick.
No, I'm sorry.
Is Cathedral Picnic Area open? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be open?
Yes,
it's already
okay.
open.
It's already open.
I saw
okay.
it the other day.
I thought with the prescribed burns, maybe it wasn't.
We went ahead and opened it
okay.
because we weren't sure when we were going to be able to do the
okay.
prescribed burn for the
weather. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm Don Hammond, new to Old Town. Mm-hmm. I have questions about that road, that paved road, which is yellow fine. Is that different?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a county road. It is a privately owned parcel. The county does maintenance on that in order to maintain access to the school. And we try to help out when we can, but we do not own that road. We have the rights to work on that road.
So if there is repair work needed, what happens?
You can let me know, and I'll see if we can do something about it. But that's I think as long as that road's been there, it's been a problem.
There's a gentleman in Old Town that actually owns the roads.
The whole road?
All the roads. He owns
yes.
all the roads. And so technically the county has no obligation to repair them, but because of the school, they paved so the school bus could get down there, and they clear. But technically there are no public services to that neighborhood because they're privately owned by one of the residents in your community.
We are not obligated, and we are also not really permitted to either. Just mm-hmm. like I couldn't come work on your driveway, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's not that we're not
right.
obligated.
I'd let you clear my driveway.
I have another question. I don't normally favor this kind of thing, but is anybody considered a taking? The county taking the land for the road? And
that has been
ours?
In discussions for longer than I've worked for the county. Mm-hmm.
Actually,
years.
I can address that. Go ahead.
And there has never been an agreement reached. And it's very complicated, to say the least. And
that process is extremely complicated.
It is very complicated, and there are a couple of owners. Most, I would say 75% is owned by one person, mm-hmm. but there are a couple other owners, and not everybody is in favor. So that stops the whole process when you don't have the whole line.
The issue was 100% of the owners had to agree. And there are properties that, you know, let's just say this is, you know, a corner of a property, and not all property owners were willing to give up their property. Mm-hmm. So without 100% cooperation, the county couldn't take them, so it failed.
Is that law? Is that state law?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but what I'm saying is that they needed 100% of all the owners that came into the established roadway to give up the or give right away, and it didn't happen. So it failed.
I'm not familiar with that part of the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they widened 95 years and years ago, 20 years ago, they took businesses.
Okay, eminent domain, yeah.
Right, eminent domain, but this would have to be an agreement. This would have to be an agreement.
It was not an agreement. They took it.
Right.
But that would be for a public purpose, and I understand your road would be for a public purpose, but it's not the same process.
It'd be something to look into.
The county doesn't want to use eminent domain. They chose this alternate method. They've been trying to do it since at least 1996 to get all the signatures. There's some people they can't find.
So I know the city of Las Vegas has a big problem with the parking garage that it took land for in the downtown. I know a lot of things slowed down back then. That was years and years ago. If they want to take property, they take property.
Well, eminent domain is always the last resort. Always, because it's not pretty. And I will say there are improvements within Old Town that are within the right-of-way. So that would mean that parts of buildings would have to be cut off. It's a very complicated issue, and we don't love it either, you know, because it's because it is a constant problem, because they're brought to the school. So, you know, we want to keep it clear and safe, but it's not ours. So it's a very complicated issue. Everyone, I think, except for the few people that don't want to sign off, I think everyone would love to see that problem resolved.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you. Okay. So that concludes the report from the Department of Transportation. Receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services.
I'm just going to suggest that I don't really have anything licensed or granted or approved as you recommended. What? Yeah. And as you may remember from years past, it's a two-step process. So first they approve who's getting the money, and then they approve the actual allocation of the money. So once that second step is done, the grant recipients can come in, sign their contracts, and start working on the projects.
Okay. Yes?
One question.
I guess I should have done that. Sorry.
No.
This is an unrelated topic, but... where Echo Road, as you're going uphill, and then you take the spruce turn off, mm-hmm. you start going uphill mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. The fellow that started building this house is now deceased. I don't know who owns it. But he cut at 4915 Spruce. Oh, 4915 Spruce.
That's why they
cut a sharp road, and I don't mean like this. I mean it is straight up and down.
Like their driveway?
To their they created a lower driveway and an upper driveway. Okay. The lower driveway that they cut out of the hillside that is straight up and down, parts of that dirt that is right under spruce mm-hmm. is giving way.
Okay.
So much so that in one area a hole has formed. In the asphalt underneath the hole collapsed. Now this isn't in Spruce Road itself, it's kind of like an area that he built leading to his house. If you were to look at this, you could, from just a little ways down Spruce and kind of peek your head over, you can see where the road is sloughing, where the dirt under the road is undermining and sloughing off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Eventually, and it got worse this year because of all our precipitation. It's been kind of a slow process up till this year. This year it happened quick.
All right.
And that whole
I'll send it to our guys. They'll come check it out.
I did contact the realtor that's in charge of that house. He said he would contact the owner. He said he got back in touch with me. He told me he contacted the owner. This was some time ago, about a month ago. Nothing's happened since.
Okay. And that doesn't really surprise me. I will have Public Works come look at it. If it has been caused by someone else's negligence,
I know the county didn't cut that.
No, no. It that may complicate things a little bit if it's been someone else that has done something negligent, but if it is a hazard, they will fix it.
Okay. Thank you. So Megan will look into it. Good.
I think that's more of a hazard on the private property, whereas right. Undercutting, that there is definitely going to be a risk on Spruce eventually because of it.
Yes.
The biggest risk right now is somebody's going to pull into that driveway and their car is just going to like go right through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our guys are pretty good and they've always fixed everything vessel, right? So they'll come out.
What's that?
But they're not going to work on private property.
To
Brenda's
house.
So we'll see.
Well, I do. The road that he cut would have been on his private property. He owns a tremendous amount of land there on that corner.
I hope he didn't cut in the road.
Well, you're going to look into that, right?
I would guess because of your encroachment or whatever the county calls that off of the roads.
The easement?
Easement is what, 10 feet, 15 feet?
It depends.
Up here, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
it could be in the street.
There is, it's right up to the edge of the asphalt.
Okay. I'll send them out.
All right. So Megan's going to look into that.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, the next item is planning and zoning. We have none. General business, we have none. The next one, go ahead.
Are we still on the poop list for the email for the announcement of the meetings?
No. But there is no poop list. There is a list that you might not be on.
Okay.
So let me
elaborate, please.
If you make me mad, you don't get the agenda. No.
I didn't know if you had ever gotten that restarted or we were still on the poop list.
I will
I'm trying
remind.
To figure that.
I thought we had fixed it, but.
What do you think it is?
I want to be on the poop list.
I'm just glad to know that we have one of those. I didn't know.
List, I promise. I want to be on the not yours. I will check. And Pamela is out right now, but as soon as she's back in.
Just because it got lost and then it had to be reestablished and
yes,
so on.
The county computer system is a little challenging.
I know that.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is comments by the general public. Anybody got any additional general comments? You look like you got some. Okay, go ahead.
Sarah, subletting the property at 302 Chris Kringle. Where are we now in terms of any actions on the state roads? We just have to call NDOT and forestry or...
You're talking about condition of the roads?
No, just for the speeders issue.
I believe Forest Service and Metro are working on it together.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Are there any other actions that we can take? Calling NDOT, writing...
You're talking about particular people speeding?
After pretty much all the way up the mountain, I guess.
Yeah, well, you have Highway Patrol, Metro, and I think there's... I don't know if federal law enforcement addresses that, but yeah, the normal channels would be after them, yeah.
Radar...
Yeah, no, they have all the law enforcement that they've normally had. But, yeah, yesterday that was coming up, and this guy on a bike had to be doing 120. I mean, I was doing 60. Oh, wait, 55. And he just went, right. I mean, it was unbelievable how fast he was going on a bike. Yeah. And, of course, again, I referenced to being on the volunteer fire department with the chief, and we've scraped up a lot of motorcycle guys. So, yeah, sometimes we don't need radar. We just pick them off on the side of the road. It's being addressed.
Just one announcement. Highway Patrol has gone to white vehicles, so don't just keep looking for the dark ones.
Yeah. Oh, those things are stealthy.
I thought they were white.
They're kind of shimmery white. Yeah.
Say, look, those blue ones blend in, though. I was thinking about buying one of those so they couldn't see me. Anyway. Chief, do you have something, or are you just kind of hanging out? Okay. All right. Well, you just look so authoritative. You know. Okay. Any other comments or questions? All right. The next meeting date is June 27th, 2019. And if there's no further business, then we'll just adjourn.
Megan, I will be out of town on the 27th if you write a note, so I will not be here.